Welcome back, folks, to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. We're putting a lot of these shows out now. On today's show, we have Gino Morella from Current Powered by GE. Greg, tell him a little bit about GE and Current Powered by GE.
Yeah, this definitely will. This podcast is sponsored by Current Powered by GE. Bridging the gap between the past and future of efficient lighting, Current has been providing innovative energy-saving lighting solutions for more than 80 years. That's a long time in lighting,
sure,
but
is,
there's
son.
Not many people that can say that. And maximizing the value of smart building management with Daintree Enterprise Solutions and Intel technology. Visit LED.com to learn more about Current's digital solutions platform, as well as their new Type B double-ended LED tube offering, which we dove into today in this show.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, man, and that was fun. You know, I'll tell you this. It's interesting to see a company like Current Powered by GE's approach to it, the way they look at it. And I'm not going to spoil no spoilers. We talked a little bit about it on the show, which you got to listen to here, son. But I think it's interesting to see the difference in the responses to new and exciting technology coming from a legacy company as opposed to a new company in the lighting business. Of course, folks, we're also sponsored by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to naild.org, baby. Nail.org, and you want to go there, you want to join us, trust me, my friends. But for right now, Gino Morella, what are we going to call him?
ABCs of LED tubes.
There we go on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Gino.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Say hi to Greg Eric.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Good, Gino. Thanks for being here.
Gino, can you believe that like 4,000 or 5,000 people are going to listen to us talk about LED tubes for the next hour?
Pretty exciting. I can tell you it's my first time with that level of an audience. So a lot of pressure here.
Nah, don't worry about it. So where are we at in this? I mean, I think what we say is let's just recap where we're at with in LED tubes now. Is it over? Like, are these things amazing now, or is there room for improvement? Where are we at, Gino?
Well, yeah, in terms of the product life cycle, to me, I feel like we're still a little bit on the earlier side. You know, tubes have been around for a little bit. To me, perhaps the technology is the changes there are slowing down a bit, but really in my mind, when it comes to sort of the market and how it's going to go, I feel like there's still some changes and dynamics going on there. Still a little volatile. You know, you guys know there's a wide range of technical solutions that are out there. You have type A's, you have type B's, you have type C's, you have drivers that run type A's that are considered type C's, and then you have some of the combo lamps that are out there. When you look at when a customer has an option to choose from, it's certainly a lot of them out there still. So I feel like that's going to continue to evolve over time.
I mean, even into the double-ended bypass, single-ended bypass, direct fit and bypass, there's a lot of options out there now, actually.
That's right. You even slice it further within each category, you're right. There are still decisions that have to be made in terms of what direction you want to go. Single-ended versus double-ended, is certainly one of those. And I think, again, going back to that type C solution, there's a couple of options within that. Do you want to use a type A lamp on a driver that's designed to run a type A lamp, or do you want to use a type C lamp, which we would call a type C lamp, which is runs off of a different driver, right? So there's some options there as well. So yeah, a lot of choices for folks to pick from.
Who came up with the terminology? I know it is Current by GE coined the term ABC lighting, A, type A, type B, type C, because I remember reading that first article and it came from somebody there. Do you know who specifically at Current by GE did that?
I would actually tell you that we use that terminology because UL, Underwriter Laboratory, uses that terminology. That's kind of how I've picked it up. So, they kind of categorize lamps as, hey, does it run off of a fluorescent ballast? Does it run off of a a line voltage, or is it running off of a pure LED driver?
What are the disadvantages of running a LED tube off a fluorescent ballast? I mean, to me, that's the most obvious, easy solution. Unless there's some serious disadvantages, why not just keep rolling it that way, Gino?
Yeah, the Type A is it's a very good solution. The puts and takes there, as you look at it, when you run off of a fluorescent ballast, there's a couple of things you have to be cognizant of. The first one, what is the life of that ballast? Your system is only as good as all the components together. So if you put an LED tube, a Type A tube, on a fluorescent ballast that's near end of life, you're potentially going to be disappointed a year later when you have no lights out of that fixture. So that's certainly an area you have to be cognizant of. The other thing, the big drawback of Type A is compatibility. So as you guys know, there's a wide range of ballast manufacturers, and even within a particular manufacturer, you have generational changes that have happened over years and years and years. And trying to have a Type A lamp that's universally compatible makes that sometimes it can be challenging, right? Even though you have standards in place for ballasts, we certainly find that at times can be a little more complicated. So you have some of those added complexities when you choose to go Type A. From a cost perspective, overall cost perspective, obviously you don't have to do any wiring. So it's going to end up being your cheapest solution for an LED tube, no matter which way you slice it compared to a Type B or to a Type C.
Does a Type A LED tube affect the fluorescent ballast any differently than a fluorescent lamp? Like, does it overdrive or underdrive it and affect the life of it?
You know, what we have found is that depending upon the life of the ballast, yes. So when a ballast has been in service for a while and has been used to running a fluorescent lamp,
gets
it's
used
conditioned
to
do that.
A ballast gets used to things. Come on, man.
Yeah. So you put the tube in there and it's a little different. And we found out that, it can cause some failures. Now, if your ballast is a newer one, then we don't really see that phenomenon.
So here's the thing. Are there any other technical disadvantages? Because from my perspective, what I liked about the accident that happened to me is that I have very few customers that are being exposed to flicker simply because the Save on Energy program required ballasts or Type C in order to get a rebate. So you need to have something in front of the tube controlling it in order to get a rebate. So the vast majority of our installations are Type A. So there's no flicker. Mm-hmm. So you get that 25,000 hertz or whatever, and most people don't want to dim. They're good to go. So we deploy. I even do a lot of new fixtures with Type A. Like, I'll just buy a fluorescent fixture, put in the LED tubes, and Bob's your uncle. The reason why I like it is because with a Type C, with a purpose-built fixture, you know, I'm wary of the replaceable components down the road. And with Type C, yeah, I'm also wary of the replaceable components down the road. I don't know if that driver is going to be available in 5 years. I don't know if that lamp configuration that works with that driver is going to be there in 5 years. And I feel like the client is just safer going to Type A.
Yeah. I think you touched on a couple of good points in my mind. One, replaceability. I think is something that LED lamps in general provide an answer to, right? It's pretty straightforward. If your lamp fails, at least you have the ability to replace that lamp. If you have an integrated fixture, it's certainly more complicated to do that, right? The other thing you touched on, which I find interesting really, is what happens down the road, right? At some point, despite the fact that LEDs, whether they're lamps or drivers, you know, they're going to fail.
Gino.
Turns out, yeah.
How
I
dare
know,
you,
I know,
Gino?
I know.
Gino, you're a traitor to this industry. No, seriously, of course. Of course. Of course.
Well, I think you guys probably can appreciate the fact that that doesn't get talked about probably as much.
Oh, it gets talked about on this show, Gino.
No, there you go.
This
okay,
show, we talk
go.
About
Good,
that.
Good.
Yeah. No more 10-year warranties. No, not allowed. Not allowed.
Yeah, but what's interesting about that, specifically the tubes, right, is you have a type A, you have type B, you have a type C tube, but something fails, right? What's going to happen? Who's going to replace what with what? And, you know, that's
type
A,
it's easy.
Dynamic.
Type A is easiest.
Type A is easiest, correct, because you don't have to do any wiring. But who's going to know if it's a type A lamp 5-6 years down the road, whatever it ends
up
being?
Well, all they got to do is call Premier Lighting in Minneapolis. That's
like
it, buddy. It's
like
real simple. Call Atlas Lighting up in Toronto, and you'll be taken care of, no problem, son. Just make sure you stick with the guys that are in this business and know what they're doing on the distributor side, and you're not going to have any problems with that.
Agreed.
Now,
agreed.
The type A's and voltage, 480 volt, what do you got up there, Mike?
347.
Mm-hmm. Is there any issue with that? Does it affect the life differently? Are they even rated up to them? I know you guys have some solutions, I assume.
Well, the nice thing about the type A, right, is it's relying on that ballast. So if you have an application in Canada that where you're running off of 347, that ballast is taking all of the brunt of that higher voltage. The output of that ballast is still what that lamp needs, and it's consistent, whether it's your input's 480, 347, 377, or, you know, all down to 120.
You know, it's interesting about the high voltage. So I have a couple cases in the back there of single-ended bypass 347 volt. Now that, my friend, is a crazy idea. It's allowed. Yes, it's allowed. But you got that 347 volt, both the neutral and the line on one socket at the end of the fixture. You got to have a real, what's the term you call, like a real, you know, love risk. You got to be a real risk taker to want to be dealing with that. But there's a ton of installations in Toronto from 2014-15 where people did that. And so Atlas Lighting can supply them the lamps should they want to continue to live dangerously. But let me ask you this. I'm seeing a shortage of high voltage ballasts. Like 347, the 480 stuff. Have you guys stopped making those ballasts, or have you slowed production on that? Is it industry-wide? Have you seen any issues with those fluorescent ballasts? It's becoming harder and harder to get.
We still offer it. We have not slowed down any kind of production. What we're finding out in the industry is some of the components that go in there, lead times are getting pushed out. Particularly MOSFETs, we're seeing longer and longer lead times. So that makes, production and scheduling production a little more fun than maybe it has been in the past. And I think what you're seeing is the output of that dynamic.
That's cascading through the supply chain, by the way. Those MOSFETs or whatever the hell you call those things, that's cascading right through. So, Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have a high voltage application, 347 or 480 volt, what is a current powered by GE stance? What type of LED tube do you go to?
You got from our position, we direct you to type A or to type C. Mm-hmm. We don't offer a type B today. And you touched on it a little earlier, right? That's a lot of voltage to go directly into a lamp, and you know, you're asking a lot out of that lamp. So we would either say, listen, use a type A solution, because again, that ballast is designed to run at 347 or 480, or go to type C, which essentially is very similar, where you'd have a driver instead of a ballast that is capable of doing the same thing.
Got it. Now we're going to dive into type B next, but I got one more type A question, unless Mike.
I got a little bit on type A too. I want to ask too, but you go first.
I got one more type A, and then so ballast factor. I've noticed from different manufacturers that they advertise their type A as a 15 watt type A, but when you look at it, it's a 15 watt on low ballast factor. Some advertise it on normal. So what is the industry standard? It doesn't sound like there is one. And why do people do low when most ballasts are normal?
Yeah, I agree with you. The standardization is a little light right now on LED tubes in general. you know, what we do, because of the various ballast factors that are out there, we actually publish system characteristics on the various ballasts that are out there, because you can, you know, your numbers will be different, right? Whether it's your mm-hmm. a power or what have you, and that can throw things off. So in the spirit of trying to be as transparent as possible, you know, the catalog will say a nominal wattage and light output, but the ballast will have an impact on depending upon what type you're using.
What do you advertise it as? Low or normal? What is
we We will advertise it as the nominal lamp wattage, which we leave out the ballast factor, and then okay. to dig into it deeper, we'll have a separate, call it a system guide that will give you the details you need specifically for what you're looking for.
So now that there really are no 1.0 ballast factor fluorescent ballast. I think there might have been, but it's really not that common. But I agree with your stat. I think that's the right way to do it, is say here's what the wattage of the lamp is. Knowing that it's not going to be that, it's going to be ballast factor right. dependent.
Right.
I don't think it matters that much, because if it depends on who it matters to, but I think that if a person is doing a retrofit, then the energy savings percentage is the same, because the fluorescent lamp is also running at a high ballast factor. So it's not as important as you might think in a retrofit application if somebody's slightly confused on 2 watts either direction, because they're still going to save the percentage that they should save.
As long as you input it correctly. That's what I come down to, is making sure people are advertising it properly or putting it in to what it actually uses.
Sure, sure. I forgot my question, so why don't you jump right into type B, Greggy?
Okay. Got a little going there. So... I guess, first of all, why did GE delay implementing a Type B? At one point, I sell GE product and I'm a GE distributor. At one point, I was told that you guys are never going to get into it. You're just going to stay out of it. That was at the initial part. And then, you know, a couple of years later, it's like still not getting involved. And then now it's been maybe a year or two that you guys have got involved. What was the delay in that?
Yeah. Good question. Simplistically, it all revolved around safety. As a business organization, you know, we had concerns about putting voltage, such a high voltage, on a lamp. Okay. We chose a position of caution. We watched the market evolve a little bit in Type B. Right. See some of the designs comes and goes, did a lot of benchmarking to kind of see what type of misapplications there would be and what the results of those would be. And, you know, eventually got to the point where we felt like we could design and launch a safe system. And really one of the things that is pivotal to our Type B offering is the various levels of fuses we use to protect, right? We can all agree that if you install that properly, it can be done very safely. The concern we've always had is, well, what happens if it's not installed properly? And then again, down the road, what happens when somebody tries to replace a failed lamp? Okay. And so it took us some time to feel comfortable about that. And when you look at our product today, and we started with a single ended, that's where we first launched it. That's about a year and a half ago. When you looked at our single ended product, we actually required that you put an external current fuse in the system. Okay. If you wanted to get a warranty and you wanted to be able to utilize that GE product, we wanted you to make sure you had a fuse there. And what that fuse did, right, doesn't really do much when you're on the early installation, unless you really goof up your wiring. It really had to do with, you know, what happens if somebody puts a fluorescent lamp in that socket when that light bulb goes out, right? There are failure modes that are unpleasant that we wanted to make sure we were protecting against. And as we've evolved, we're drifting away from single-ended, and we're going to move more towards focusing on the double-ended. There's some advantages there with not having to replace lamp holders, a little simpler to do, but we still have that current fuse that we don't require today. We recommend it, but you know, we're allowing folks who feel comfortable about what they're doing to make that decision. But very, very important to us to make sure that that system, when it's done with the Type B, is protecting the end user, you know, over the total life cycle of that.
Now, to be clear on that external fuse, in a way, it was really a socket kit, isn't it? Where the fuse is in the wiring that goes to the socket.
Is that what for the single-ended lamp, yep. Yeah, that we initially launched, because you need to replace the lamp holders really anyhow. So we, instead of just providing the fuse, we actually provide the fuse built into the sockets. As we move to the double-ended, because you can use the shunted sockets that are out there, it's not a kit that has the lamp holders. It's really a fuse with pigtails that you can wire in.
Got it.
So you know what's interesting about your position on Type B? The only type of company that would take that position would be one with a long history in lighting. If you were new in lighting, you would smash into Type A, Type B, Type C as quickly as you possibly could, because you're just looking for sales growth. But only a company, yeah, where you're like, you know what, we know how lighting works and we're not sure about this one. Let's not do it and lose a ton of revenue based on principle. That's what happened, basically. You guys lost a ton of revenue because you took a principal position that came from a long knowledge and history in the lighting business. And maybe it was a right decision, maybe it wasn't. But for whatever reason, you chose that, and only a company with a long history in lighting prior to LED would do that. And that was that's an interesting observation for me. It's that, you know, what are you willing to walk away from shows you what you're made of in some ways.
I totally agree. And that's one of our mantras here, right? You know, we try to build that trust, and we've built it for really 100 years in the lighting industry. Like we have a lot riding on that. And when folks come to us and they're asking us questions, right, they're relying on that history and the knowledge that we've built over that time, you know, when they come to us. So we take that very serious.
You know, it's interesting. We just got back from the DLC stakeholders meeting, and what we've noticed is that there's the hubristic moments of this industry seem to be in decline a little bit. People are what's the word we used? Wading in to these scenarios with a little bit toe in the water, as opposed to diving headfirst into certain areas. But what we've seen in the lighting business is not that in the past. What we've seen is a lot of hubris, a lot of pride, a lot of false promises, or best case scenarios being offered as realistic scenarios. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And I don't want to go as far as to say charlatans, but I will say naivete being a huge problem. I don't think current by GE or GE Lighting or whatever you guys have transformed now, it's current powered by GE, correct? So you guys didn't take that, but you guys didn't buy into that. But a lot of the leaders in this industry have suffered because of that. For not doing that, for not jumping on that bandwagon.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree.
So now in terms of lumens per watt out of an LED tube, that's improving some, but do you think it's getting to the point where it's going to maximize or cap out? You know, you get 10 watt. I've seen 4 foot lamps that are now 10 watts. Are they ever going to get down to 5 watts or 6 watts, or are we kind of at the level we need to be at?
Well, if you're looking for a 4 foot lamp, you know, right. You know, the really that wattage level is really largely dictated by DLC requirements. You know, we see so much volume going through rebates, which are based upon DLC. I think what you're seeing from us, as well as a lot of the other folks that are out there, is you're making sure you have a form of product that has the lowest watt consumption while still giving you the minimum requirements necessary for DLC to be qualified. You know, the whole professional environment, again, you guys know this very well, A lot of the growth, a lot of the sales are driven through rebates, and you know, having that DLC checkmark next to it's a big deal. So what I would tell you to that question, right, I think LED chip technology is certainly slowing. So you're seeing efficiency improvements, but they're much smaller than they used to be. And then what we will end up doing is leveraging that and making sure we fit into those commercial boundaries that still make them viable products. And, you know, largely that has is DLC related.
Now, in terms of lumens per watt, again, is type C the most efficient LED tube you can get?
Types, they're all going to be very similar. You're going to have on type A, you have a little bit more ballast loss or a little bit more losses because of the ballast. But you do actually have some of the same when it comes to a type C situation or solution. You may see actually marginal benefits on efficiency with type B because you're actually bypassing a ballast or a driver completely, but they're all very similar.
Are you giving a longer life or a longer, yeah, I guess estimated life for a type C than you are a type B or a type A right now?
We do not. So we have a 50,000 hour tube platform that ranges from type A, type B, and type C. We do have a longer life platform in both type A and type C today, and the warranties are reflective of those longer lives.
What do you think is the future of LED tubes? Which, if you're going to have one type that you think is going to be the way to go, which way do you think it is?
I would put my money, if I had to make one decision, it will likely be on type B. I think what we'll see in the market is type A is a great solution today because you don't have to replace the ballast. Eventually, those ballasts are going to fail. And the customer who had the easy button in the past is now going to be forced with a decision. Do I replace a ballast with a ballast or do I change something else? I think you're going to see a lot of that move to type B. Type B answers. Now, I will say that I do anticipate type C remaining in the mix because as the world becomes more sophisticated and starts to get into more and more controllability and advanced controls, really feel like type C is the better solution there. And sit, really think about the physics of it. You can do a lot more with a driver that's remote than you can with a driver built into a tube. And some of the technology that's evolving, it's pretty interesting. And, you know, trying to force it all into that small package, I think, is going to have some challenges to it. So
now, as you guys look across your product lines, are you concerned or researching or talking about flicker in any of your product? LED tubes specifically?
Yeah, well, tubes and across the board, flicker has always been on the radar screen. And I know that there are some, there's interest in a higher degree or higher level of flicker free. So yeah, the overall answer is yes. It's one of the characteristics that we make sure we test to and design to. And expect that to continue to be important moving forward.
I want to talk about your observations about type A sort of sunsetting in a way, naturally sunsetting itself. That's interesting. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I like that's perfect for my market. I'll be real happy about that. But, you know, I think that's interesting. So you're predicting, okay, so we had this big, there's this big wave of type A flowed in. And just basically took over the business. And now that tide's going to flood back. And as it comes back and the price of fluorescent ballast goes up or whatever, something happens, people are going to look back and say, what's the next move here? It's like, it's almost like we built in some redundancy into those bad boys that I'm real happy about, actually. because it's interesting because like you're actually, if there is, if we do conquer this health effects of lighting thing, if it does emerge that tunability is really desirable in some way, and lighting controls. I think you're right about the type C as being the answer to that question in a way. What do you think, Greg? What's your take?
Yeah, I've done a lot of type B In our market, that's just kind of where it's at. And when you talk to enough customers, they'd say, yeah, I want to get rid of the ballast. They're done with it. So we do type B a lot of time. But type C, I think, has its place. And I kind of feel it has a potentially strong future for those reasons. You know, one is you're separating the driver and you can do a lot, it's a lot more capable to do things. There are 0 to 10 volt type Bs I've seen. There's dimmable type Bs. There's all sorts of different options. But with a driver separated from it, we all know the science behind it, that the getting the heat away is a big deal. And it can, I feel like it should be able to have a longer life than a type B. I haven't seen it come out and say that yet, but maybe that's where research will go too. So yeah, I think there's a future for type C for sure.
So we're sunsetting type A. We're going to prepare for type B, flicker-free, controllability, addressability. And if you really want to get fancy schmancy, you're going to have to go type C, son. Love it.
And where are you guys at? Where are you at on combo, Gino? What do you guys think on the combo lamp, Ooh. The type A or B, AB?
Yeah, that's another one we're watching. We're watching the market. I'll tell you that our feeling on the combo lamp is it has some value in terms of, let's just say, inventory management, because you could carry one lamp that can be used in multiple applications. So I think that there's certainly some value there. But what we sort of think is you want to optimize a type A lamp to be a type A lamp and a type B lamp to be a type B lamp. It will enable you to be the most efficient, most reliable, and most cost-effective if you approach it that way. When you try to have a single lamp do multiple things, you are building in incremental stuff that, because you want it to do more than one thing. And so we certainly have seen it. We certainly hear about it. We aren't sold on it, and we're going to continue to watch to see how that evolves over time.
Well, on that note, Gino, thank you for coming on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. You know, the last time we spoke, we talked mostly about MMA and the UFC. And this time we spoke about lighting. We should have recorded the last one too.
Had to put some work in today, right?
Yeah, we had to do some work finally. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you guys having me. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Gino.
Current powered by GE, Greg. They've been in the game for 80 years. What's up, man?
80 years. They are coming out with innovative product. And as we talked about today in the show, they actually take their time, though. They don't just throw a product out there that they don't know about, that they don't test, that they don't trust. So they really do it right. And there's too many companies, unfortunately, that we see in the manufacturing world of LED right now that just throw stuff out there. You brought it up today. You know, they just throw stuff out there to make their money, and then who cares what happens in the future. GE's been around, they're here, they're staying around, so stick with them. They bridge a gap between the past and future of efficient lighting by providing that innovative product with the history to back it. LED.com is their website, man.
Boom.
They've got it all.
Oh, there you go. That's a good URL, actually. You know, I had fun talking to Gino. I talked to him twice. I talked to him on his test. We spoke for about 45 minutes just about MMA and the UFC and then lighting and then back to MMA and watching guys beat the shit out of each other and everything. It was great. So, Gino, thank you for coming on the show, man. It's fun. I can't wait to press hands together with you, brother. Boom, at Light Fair. And, of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org, Greg. Go there. Check it out, man. Come on, son.
Always do.
Thanks for listening, folks. We're very grateful to our guests, to our sponsors, to our listeners, to everybody at Nailed. Get a Grip on Lighting is for you. Thanks for listening.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, the Lord is there to find you.